Welcome to episode 23 of Conversations with Danny Weddle. My guest is former Mason County Royals basketball and baseball player, Kenny Craycraft. Hey, Kenny, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. I want to talk about your playing days at Mason County.
Okay.
Talk about picking up a basketball early. What do you remember about playing as a youth and maybe some of your coaches?
Well, I went to Sardis Elementary School in H.G. Arms, which was the principal of Sardis at that time, was Harold G. Arms. He'd been there for years, and that was H.G.'s father. And H.G., I think, had gone to Moorhead for a while, and he came back, and he kind of took over the coaching duties there at Sardis. So H.G. was my first coach there, played probably 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And I also remember H.G. took me to my first state tournament when I was in 8th grade, and that was, of course, a big deal. I'd never seen the Memorial Coliseum before, so that kind of got me going into basketball, but he was the first coach there. And then I think Mason County started in the fall of 60, which I was a 8th grader, and then the next year in the fall of 61, then I started Mason County.
What do you remember about that first day tournament that you attended?
Walking in, and I'd never been gyms like Sardis and Washington, just walking into Memorial Coliseum, and member schools like Beaver Dam, Dunbar was, still, of course, it was, I'm not sure, with segregation things, I'm not sure how that might have been one of the first years, or that Dunbar, they were an all-black school, but at that time that they had started to play. And just the crowd, and I guess just the size of the building, not being used to being in anything like that, but it was an all-day, an all-day event, and going to Lexington, some of the restaurants, being here in the country, being young, that was just an exciting, never forgot it, and I really appreciated that H.G. would do that, take kids, to the state tournament. So that was a big thing for me at that time.
Did you go a lot of Mays Lick games as a youth and watch the Cardinals play?
Not a whole lot. They used to have, when I was at Sardis, and it was February the 12th, I think that was one of the, I don't know, President's Day or something, but for years, they would have an all-day tournament at Sardis Elementary School for all the elementary, like Dover, Mays Lick, Orangeburg, and we'd play all day. But that night, the junior varsity team of Mays Lick and Mount Olivet, it wasn't the varsity, I think it was just the junior varsity, that would be the last game played that night at Sardis, and that was a tradition all through grade school on February the 12th. And like I say, at the time when I was young, I thought it was just because of the basketball tournament, but it was one of the President's Day or something like that. So that was a big deal at Sardis, and I don't know if any of the other schools, I don't remember going and playing any of the other schools, but it was during the day. They would start early in the morning, and if you won, you got to keep playing. And I know my 8th grade year, we won that thing, so I'm going to say we probably played 3 games that day. But of all the schools, Dover, Orangeburg, Mays Lick, Washington, and then they cap it off. So that was a big thing for the Sardis community and everything for a small school, but it would be packed, that whole day doing that.
Sounds like a neat day. Now, you said you were an 8th grader when Mason County got together and had their first team. Did you go to any of those games?
Yes, I did. Not too many, and that's one of the things that I've been fortunate. Since Mason County started, and I'm not sure how many games I attended that first year, but I've not missed a year. I've been blessed with health enough that I've watched Mason County play games every year, and I've been fortunate enough to see every state tournament game that Mason County has been in. I've been fortunate enough to go see that, and I've been blessed, with health, and things to be able to do that. But I was thinking about that. Since Mason County's had a school since 1960, I've watched some or part of the season games, and I've been fortunate enough, I've been able to see every state tournament game they've played in.
Now, you were a freshman on that second year, making the team. How big a deal was that for you? It had to be pretty big, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and I was fortunate, and that was their second year, my first year, and I guess I'll laugh and I tell people my claim to fame. And of course, it's just the second year, so it was easy to do. I was the first freshman, I think, that ever lettered on the varsity. So I got to play quite a bit, and the reason why I did, we had a pretty good ball club that year. We had Jerry King, which I think is one of the best athletes that's ever played in Mason game, but Jerry King, Curtis Slater, Fred Warner, Arlie Mitchell, and I think Butch Foreman and Darryl Bluford. So we had a good team, and I got to play quite a bit, so that's how I got the letter. And that's probably the closest I got to play in a state tournament. Then, of course, the 10th region was held at Harrison County, and we won the district down here, and I think it was Maysville. I'm pretty sure we played Maysville, but and I can't remember who we played. That's, of course, in the 10th region was held at Harrison County, and I can't remember who the first game was, but on Friday night, we had to play at Harrison County, which they were probably, the best team in the region. Was playing for us then at Harris game, and we lost them by 1 point. And then they came back the next night and beat Maysville by 2 points. And that was when Dwight Murphy and George Davis and all them. But and actually, we had the ball for the last possession, and I think we had a turnover, but we had a shot to win the game at last possession, and that's probably as close as I got making maybe to the state tournament. But we had a real good team that year, freshman year.
Yeah, 24-4. What about Teets Ryan as a coach? Everybody tells me what a taskmaster he was on fundamentals, and how would you describe Coach Ryan?
Exactly that. As I look back, as I get older, I appreciate and I kind of think I knew what he was trying to do, but to be honest with you, Danny, I had never, you play grade school ball, and I don't know how much importance or how much stress, but I would say he was more the military. I never was in the military, but I've read books on Bear Bryant and Bob Knight, and their account of St. Noel. He was a strict, strict disciplinarian. Everything had a purpose. Every mistake you had to run, you were punished for it. Now, they couldn't coach that way today, but there was a lot of screaming, a lot of hollering, a few choice words that I'm not going to repeat. But as I look back on it, I think they tried to mentally toughen you up. So when game, now he didn't treat us that way during the game, but in practice, and I look back on some things, I don't really understand why he did this. During practice, we might practice 3 hours. You could not get a drink of water.
Wow.
If you got caught getting a drink of water, you're in big trouble. Now, we practiced then all the time at the old Washington gym. There's a water fountain behind the stage. And halftime, you'd be up there running laps. So you had to go up the mountain, then down the stairs, up, down. You'd sneak a drink of water. But I never really understand why. Now, game time, you would. But he had some other drills. I've never understood this. You'd be dog tired. You'd practice for 3 hours, and we would. We practice, and they nonstop. And maybe it was a bad practice. He'd line you up next to the wall, three lines, and he'd roll a basketball to the middle of the floor. And he'd tell all the three guys to go get it. And if you got it, you got to go to the shower. If you didn't get it, you had to get back in line and do it again. So you can imagine it was premier a scrum or a fight trying to get that ball. If you didn't, you had to get up and go do it again. So that'd be blood and skin. There was just things that he did like that I never understood. But I learned almost all my fundamentals. We did very little scrimmaging. Or we we'd run some plays, but it was always one-on-one, two-on-two, how to pass a basketball, how to dribble a basketball, boxing out. And I watch these guys games now, especially college. You don't see much boxing out. It's, you know, everybody can jump real high, so there's time. But fundamentally, I learned about everything from Team Shrine just because that's all we practice. So, but some of the other things, like I say, that basketball rolling on the floor and scooting around, it's just, you couldn't do that today. They bar you off the bat. But I think looking back, he did it just to try to toughen us up mentally and things, so when we got in the game, you know, you could handle the pressure.
Now the 62-63 team, your sophomore season, you were the third leading scorer, and another good year, 20-4, but you lost to Fleming County in the district. That knocked you out, ended the season, and Ted Purcell had 24 points for the Panthers in that game.
Yeah, he did, and that was a year then after that that Coach Ryan resigned. He was only there 3 years. And to go back on that, my junior year, we won the district. We had to play Fleming County again. And I think Teddy was they had a pretty good ball club. They were he was a senior that year. But it was in the old format. We played down to Maysville. We beat them in the district. And then we turned around and drew them the first game in the region in Harrison County. And looking back on that, I actually wish we'd have lost that district, because I just think mentally, once you win, I think they probably had a bigger incentive on that. Well, I think it was on a Wednesday night. It was a quick turnaround. And I just don't think mentally and some of the guys that we had, I don't think hardly played as well. I just think the loser probably had more incentive. Teddy was back. They had a Graham. I think J.J. Graham was his name. And they had a pretty good ball club. And I think they led most of the game. We just never could get in rhythm. And they knocked us out of the first game of the region after we beat them on Saturday night down to Maysville in the district.
Yeah, and you mentioned Coach Ryan resigned, and then Herb Childress was your coach. What was it like as a player there to see your first coach resign and then know you're going to get another coach? You remember much about that or the process?
Well, to be honest with you, at the time, I was probably a little relieved, but I'm not sure if Coach Ryan hadn't stayed. I had a good relationship with Coach Childress even after he left. But he was a different personality. He wasn't as harsh on, you know, like the pushiness maybe or the – it was almost, I'll be honest with you, under Coach Ryan, especially Brian, it was a lot of verbal abuse. And actually, after my sophomore year, I learned just to block that out because it wasn't anything personal. But you had – and he made a statement once that he never cut anybody from the team, that if you could – take his practices, you made the team. Now, you might not play, but if you could put up with him in practice, he was on the squad. But most guys, if they wasn't playing, they would just finally leave because they didn't want to take that abuse. And I'm sure that's what it was. It wasn't anything, but you just had to kind of block the criticism out and try to pick up the positive stuff, because it didn't, you know, it just drive you up the wall, because I'd never been around anything like that. Now, Coach Childress had a different demeanor, and I look back on it, maybe he didn't push us as hard as, I guess what I'm trying to say, you can think you're playing hard, but if you've got a coach you know is really going to rip you, you're going to play a little bit harder. And that's the way Coach Ryan was. I knew if I didn't do my job, I was going to the next day in practice, I was really going to pay for it. So I think you have that incentive just to put out more.
Now, that junior season, you were the second leading scorer for the year, and you had a 26-point game versus Tolesboro. And I know Kirby Wright put the newspaper article from that game on Facebook just not too long ago. Do you remember that game?
Oh, yeah, I do. Like I said, I can remember most things back then. I can't remember what happened last week. Yeah, that was one of those games. We went up there, and I had a pretty good course back then. Nothing like the, you know, you didn't have the three-point shot. I don't know what, and I scored some in the paint, but I was mostly, you know, out outside jump shooter. And yeah, that was one of the better games I had. And and you know, going back, and Tolsboro had a decent team at that time. And that was another thing back then. You know, I've often wondered if, since the years that Mason County has done so well, I go out there and watch, and I think, well, could I even play on with these guys? But we didn't, you know, we played Bryan County twice. We maybe played Tolsboro twice. We didn't go venture out and go to Lexington or Louisville or play in these Christmas tournaments. And I think for a long time, one of the reasons I know from my experience, you know, I would have doubted, well, can we beat a Lexington team or can we beat a Louisville team? Because we never played them. So I think it was good once that Mason County started going and playing all over, you think, well, these guys know better than I am. It's just, you know, they had that reputation. So, you know, there was some games I went into and I thought, well, we're going to beat these guys just showing up. But then there was teams that if you were playing a big team, a big name team, there was that doubt in your mind. And so, you know, once you start playing those guys, you know, back in my day, Harrison County counter ruled the region. And, you know, there's always that doubt in your mind until you beat them. Well, can we compete? Well, once you start playing them and beat them, then you realize, well, hey, they're no better than we are. So I think, you know, I think so much of it's mental, you know, when you go out on the floor to do something. But, and now basketball's changed much. It's year-round. You know, and that's another thing. When I was, and the other kids were like me, too. You know, when season's over with, it's over with. You didn't play more ball till that fall. You know, you went back and you'd get in condition. And, of course, I lived on the farm here and working with Dad with hay and tobacco. But now these kids play year-round AAU ball. And, you know, it's just they're more advanced. And even though we had guys back then, I'm sure could have played. But it was just, you know, school, you got beat in March, you forgot about basketball till basically school started in the next fall.
Now, your senior year, 16-10 record, your second leading scorer again, but I guess the big thing out of that season was the Fieldhouse opening. What about the anticipation of that, watching the building get completed and then play that first game in it?
It was, and, you know, I think the Bodes in my freshman year, and I thought, well, you know, I'll get to play maybe one or two full years. And of course, that back then, that was a big project. I think one of the local contractors here in Maysville got it. Of course, they were subcontract, but it seemed like it took forever to get that built. And they released it to us over the Christmas holidays of my senior year, which was the end of 64. And then we played the first game in January of 65. And Ripley, it just had to fall that Ripley was the team on the schedule. But you can imagine as a kid, you know, we'd been playing the Washington gym, not a regulation court. Sometimes we got to go to Maysville. When Maysville, they were good enough left when they wasn't playing. Of course, that seemed like, no telling, I think it held 1,400, 1,500. It had the glass backboards of the fiberglass. You know, we still had the old wood painted backboards at Washington. And I remember walking out the first practice, and they had all the lower arena seats, the bottom seats pushed back. And you can, you know, for a kid that's been playing in Washington this whole 300, 400, 500 and not a regulation. I mean, it was like I've never been in Madison Square Gardens, but it was like walking out into Madison Square Gardens because it was just huge. I mean, huge. And all that year, it was basically full. It seemed like every game we played, I mean, it was something that the residents of Mason County, and I mean, they were proud of it. I mean, I look back and I think about the school board members, they had just done that in early 60, 61. To even consider building, I think at that time it held 6,000 or maybe over 6,000. I know they've cut back on it, and they probably had a better place than some of those colleges around the state. But to have that knowledge or something to go ahead and build something that big, you know, compared to what the other school was. else, but it was a big deal to walk out and to see that. I got to play 9 games. Of course, we've been fortunate enough to play in the tournament again. We played Maysville early in January that year, and we beat Maysville. But then we drew them the first game of the district. And, of course, Maysville had Bob Hiles. He was probably the best player in the region that year. He made All-State, went to Kentucky. And we just didn't play as well as the team, and we got knocked out the first game of the district. So I got to play one tournament game, didn't get – and see, the region would have been held there that year. And but it was a big deal. And I know during that season, and I don't know if that Mason County's done that since, we had like a Friday, Saturday doubleheader with Fleming County. And I think McDowell was one of the schools, and I don't know where it was, Martin, they were from Eastern Kentucky. Like, we played those on a Friday night, and then we flip-flopped. I can't remember who we played first.
You played Waylon first.
Waylon, that's right, Waylon was, and then we played, and I think McDowell the year before had won their region, so then on Saturday night, we just flipped with Fleming County, and again, place to me seemed like it was packed, so, you know, it was kind of something new, and there wasn't a lot on TV then as far as sports, so that was kind of the big thing on weekends. The parents put the kids in the car, and they go to the ball game. So it was a big deal getting to play, and, you know, the first game in it. And it's something that, you know, people in Mason County are still proud of, having a facility like that.
Now, Ron Bailey and I both heard that you scored the first 2 points in that Ripley game. Is that true?
You know, that's something I don't remember. I really don't. I mean, you know, it's just, that's been, 58 years ago, about 58 years ago, so that I don't remember, but it was a big deal to, you know, say, well, I got to play the first game out here, and
you had a 24-point game there against McDowell in that weekend you were talking about.
Yeah, and like I said, I think, we won both our games, and I'm not sure Fleming County, I don't know how they came out on that, but I'm pretty sure McDowell that year before had won their region. I don't know whether that's 15th region down in there or what, but they had a pretty good ball club. And my senior year, we lost some players, didn't have much size, and, you know, like I say, we did beat Maysville first year regular season game, and like I say, Maysville had Bob Hawes, Billy Lester, I'm trying to think of some of the other kids, Jerry Case, and we were probably pretty well evenly matched, but, you know, coming back that quick, and we just didn't, put it together, but we lost quite a bit from my junior. Darryl Bluford left, and Johnny Black, and Billy Day, they was all on that team, and I don't know, it was a rebuilding team, but we didn't, well, matter of fact, my senior year, I think I was probably the tallest kid on there, and I wasn't about 6'1", count it then, so didn't have a lot of size, and I kind of wish that we could have either beat Maysville or gotten the other bracket. I think Colesboro, San Pat, I think it was four teams that usually I'm putting them down, but we had pretty good success. I'd have got played in the first regional tournament out there. And that was your, Danny, that I think I'm right. I don't think I'm getting ahead of myself. Pendleton County won that, which come out of kind of out of nowhere. And for some reason, Kentucky High School Athletic Association put Bryan Station. And I think this was the year. I don't think I'm getting ahead. I don't think it's the next year. But Pendleton County come out of that region, I think. You might
have heard. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they beat Bryan Station.
And I do not know. They only had them down here one. I mean, that don't make sense. Nobody's ever explained to me why they brought a team from Lexington and, you know, put the 10th region down here. But Dillon County got on a roll there. They had a couple of right boys. Pete, you probably know Pete.
Oh, yeah.
There, and another one of the right boys. And through that tournament, and for years after that, till Mason County, and I think it's early 80s where Mason County won the state tournament. I don't know how many times Pendleton County knocked Mason County out of the regional tournament. It's just like we can't get over the hump. I know one game out there, Mason County led like 31 minutes and 55 seconds of the 32-minute game, and one of the kids from Pendleton County hit a shot out of the corner with about 5 seconds to go and beat Mason. I thought, well, they ain't never going to beat Mason County. Of course, once we went, then Mason County's done, you know, gone on a roll and done pretty well. But now back then, the games would be, I go out there now and I sometimes wonder how they pay for the electric bill. But had big crowds, had a nice facility to play in, and something that, you know, I'll remember till the day I die. You know, it's just a good experience.
You talked a lot about playing Maysville. You played them, and you've watched them over the years till they consolidated. But I try to tell the young people what an event that was. I mean, you marked your calendar for when that Maysville-Mason County game was going to be played in January.
It was. And, you know, I thought about that, and I didn't even know. I'd been out, come in, and be honest with you, I didn't even know that you'd call. But I'll think about, you know, when Maysville still had, and there's a lot, of course, you know, people follow basketball. Maysville had as much tradition as any team in the state. And then, of course, once Mason County got going, and now they've got a heck of a lot of tradition. But when Mason County and Maysville both had a team, there was very few years when the regional tournament rolled around, you'd think, well, one of those teams are good enough to win it. That's just how much talent. And when they did consolidate, and I'm not sure, I know you know the year, I think Mason County then won three straight regions.
Right.
And I don't know if it's because you don't have the two schools and the programs. It seemed like that the talent maybe has dried up just a little bit, especially coming out of Maysville. You know, when you got two schools, you got two programs going, you got more players that going. And I know, and this is a whole different thing, there's so much recruiting going on in high school now. But if you don't do that, it kind of runs in a cycle. You know, you'll have some talent and you'll have some weak years. But no, Maysville, Mason County, if they got rolling, they wasn't very many years there when the tournament rolled around. You think, well, one of these teams is good enough to go. But it was a big thing. And there's another thing I never could understand, Danny, why they did that. But all the time I was in high school, and I think I'm right about this, when we played, it would always be in January. We'd play on a Tuesday night. I never could understand why they didn't play on a Friday or Saturday night, because even though it didn't hurt the crowd, of course, the first 3 years that I played, we played in Maysville. And then my senior year, we played in Mason County. And it'd be jam-packed on both places. But it always, I thought, well, why are you playing on Tuesday night when you play on Friday night? People don't have to get up and go to work or anything, but it didn't hurt the crowd. And Maysville, I think I split four or five, I don't know how many games we played, but I think I was 500 with Maysville. But they had some, I know my sophomore year, we beat them my freshman year, because I didn't have much to do with that. But my sophomore year, we went down there, and Maysville had one of the best teams maybe it had. They had Wright Murphy, George Davis, George Green, Bob Hawes, and I think Billy Brees. And we were kind of rebuilding that year. We'd lost all of our. They should have beat us 20 points. And I'm sure they knew they could beat us 20 points. But we went down there that night, and that game went right down to the wire. And they beat us, and they went on state tournament. But one thing, and this is getting off sports a little bit, I come out of there that night, and it must have been 60 degrees, felt like. Got up the next morning, and there must have been a foot of snow on the ground and 25 below zero. We never had school the rest of the week.
Wow.
But it's just one of those things that always stuck in my mind. But Maysville, I'm pretty sure, won the region that year. And George Davis, I know, and they were all good. George Davis was one of the best ball players that I ever played against. And but I can't remember the final score. But I'm sure they could have beat us 20. They never no doubt they's gonna win, but that is one of the better games. We were undermanned against them. They probably didn't take us too serious, but that game went right down to the wire that night. But that was just one thing stuck in my mind. Got up the next morning, and like I say, we never had school, but, and I know we went out to rush and practice, and we just, it was cold, we just practiced in our clothes. We switched out to practice shorts or uniforms or anything.
You mentioned, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You mentioned several of your teammates there. Just talk about some of those guys that stand out for you. Now, Jimmy Plummer led you in scoring those last 2 years.
Yeah, Jim did. Jim could shoot the ball, and, you know, like I say, they've been a three-point shot like everybody else. But he was probably your best outside shooter. And Tommy Phillips was on my senior year. I was trying to think. Tommy lives in Georgia. And Sam Boyd, he was Sam's no longer with us. He passed away a few years ago. He was a junior. Rick Weiss, I think, started as center. I think he was a junior that year. And I guess I said that was, we had three seniors and two juniors. I think Donnie Jackson, Donnie, of course, no longer with us. Really good guy, good player. He was one to come off the bench. But like I said, we didn't have a lot of size. And looking back on it, we didn't have a lot of speed, probably a lot of quickness. And it was kind of the year before we lost, we won the district and got beat in the region. You know, and I can't remember then after I graduated, I went on the board head for year 10. I kind of lost out on who followed and stuff. Of course, that was Herb Childers' second year. That I played 2 years under Dean Ryan, and then my last 2 years under Herb Childers. And I don't know, he stayed around another two or three, a couple of years after that. And Jim Mitchell, I was trying to think, Jim Mitchell followed. I'll tell you a player that played, you going back, he was a freshman, but I knew he was going to be special, and that was Tommy Court.
Right.
Tommy didn't start, but he came off the bench. He was probably good enough, to be honest with you, looking back. We probably should have, but I knew Tommy was going to be special. And he came off the bench and played quite a bit. But
you wore number 14, and another guy came along and wore that number. How did you pick 14?
I always tell, and I'm trying to think, Ronnie might have been the eighth grade when I was a senior. I didn't have the fortune to get to play, but I'm thinking that's right. He was either seven, but he might have been an eighth grader. I'm not 100% sure. But I tease people and tell them, you know, I was the one that made 14 special, you know. I say that as a joke. But, and if Ronnie had been at, of course, then he was at Orangeburg. Matter of fact, Tommy Phillips, as an eighth grader, of course, that's where Tommy went to school, elementary school in Washington. Of course, that's where Mason County got to practice. And so teams let Tommy, he actually played some junior varsity ball as an eighth grader. And of course, Tommy would laugh about this. And, man, that used to tear me up as an eighth grader, because I knew, you know, that was some competition there between Tom Washington. Usually had one of the top elementary schools in the county. And by him living there and practicing there, my situation, I couldn't have, well, that wasn't good enough, but I couldn't have gotten Sardis out there and practice. But I'll have to tell you, I was a little bit envious of him going out there and thinking, daggone, he's in eighth grade, and, you know, he's getting the dress and play on the junior varsity at Mason County. But, that's what I tell people. I was one that made 14 things.
Did you pick that number, or was it just handed out to you?
It was just handed out to us. And, of course, back then, we didn't have near the equipment. I don't know if these high schools, it's Nike or something. I mean, we had to kind of mix and match. We didn't have near the equipment or stuff, uniform stuff that these kids have now, you know.
You couldn't have in your wildest dreams imagined playing in Hawaii.
No. That would have been, you know, that just wouldn't even he wouldn't even ban that. And like I say, I look back, and probably these kids that play 4 years in Mason County now probably would be like a whole another season. I'll say there's nothing for them to play 35 games a year. Of course, you know, if you're fortunate enough to make a deep run in the tournament, that helps. But with all these Christmas, the only time we ever played, and I was a freshman that year, we went to Louisville and stayed overnight, and we played Louisville Trinity. Of course, at that time, Danny, Trinity was probably one of the weakest schools in Louisville because, you know, back then you had Mayo and Central, and of course, that's changed over the years now. You know, Trinity's special football, but, you know, don't go back again. I don't want to do an opposite recruiting thing, but, you know, Trinity now in the last few years is one of the biggest schools in. But we went down there, and believe it or not, we beat them, and that's the only time that I remember going on the road. We spent the night in Louisville. I was a freshman that year, and like I said, we had a pretty decent team. And it's kind of funny. That was the first time that ever we was all after the game, and that was a big deal to us, being on TV. They didn't have the game, but they gave the scores on TV, and that's the only time I ever remember, you know, seeing Mason County on the sports, you know, talking about winning the game at Louisville at Trinity. But I would say Trinity at that time was one of the weaker programs in Louisville. Of course, that switched now. They're one of the most dominant teams in Louisville.
How about some of the places? Y'all didn't travel far, like you said, but how about some of the gyms that stick out for you that you played in back in the day? Obviously, I think Fleming County would have to be one of them, wouldn't it be?
Well, you know what? The only game I ever missed, I was sick that night. In the 4 years, and we were just talking about that. For some reason, my wife, my granddaughter, played volleyball up there a year or so ago. And I did, they called it the pit of wrecking. You had to climb down or go
right
down. I was actually sick. That's the only game in 4 years that I missed. Now, my mom and dad, they left me. They went to the ball game and left me at home with myself. But I never did get to play in the old gym and was never in there to watch a game. So I cannot tell you about that, but you know, Brighton County had a real nice before they built that, but their gym was okay, of course. And they always some of the schools were just small, non-regulation courts, maybe 400 or 500 people. Maysville probably at that time was the best gym. You know, it very few of the schools had the fiberglass or glass backboards. You know, they had their white painted wood backboards. And so you can imagine when they built Mason County, what, you know, I've been through grade school and high school. And I'm trying to think. We went to Georgetown. Seemed like they had Mount Orb, I'm sorry. They had a pretty nice facility. Most of them were the run-of-the-mill. That's something that don't really stand out a whole lot. But once you know, Mason County opened up, there was nothing else to compare it with. I mean, it's like Caesar's Palace, you know, or something, you know, compared to the others.
Now, you mentioned a lot of the great Maysville players you played against. I jotted down a couple other guys you played against here. Tom Borwinkle from MMI, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. I was just telling somebody the other day, of course, you know, there you go again. We went up there and a little old cracker box gym. Of course, back then, we didn't have the, of course, people doing TV or the media. And I remember going up there against him, and I'm not sure we were the same, but he was, of course, 7 foot. He was still the height, but thin as a rail. And you can imagine a kid that young and that not very well coordinated, and they didn't have a very good team, and we beat them pretty handily. But, and it hadn't been too long, I was telling somebody about that. That kid eventually, and that's only played once. They never came down here and don't know what year I was in. He filled out Tennessee, Ray Mears. He went to Tennessee, and he filled out, and he went to the pros, and he played several years. Of course, if you're 7 foot tall, you know, that's a big help. But when he put some weight on, he passed away a few years ago. I remember reading about that. But in my wildest dreams, I never thought about, you know, him going on and being a professional basketball
When I was,
and I don't think Kentucky or anybody. He was just, you know, he's like a young colt. You know, you watched him run, and his mobility and everything. But once he put the weight on, he played basketball for a long time. And I'll tell you who else I played, the best ball player I ever played against that didn't know it at the time. My senior year, we went down to, I think it was kind of a guy by the name of Dave Cowan.
Newport Catholic.
Yeah, okay, Newport Catholic. I couldn't remember. And there you go again, Danny. Never heard of him. But see, he didn't have the media and these ratings. And I never heard that, and walked out. And I'll tell you a little story about this. And I look back on this, and I think Coach Schuller's made a mistake. That was the last game of the season that we played my senior year. And we went down there, and he come up with this idea, because we knew he was going to have to play Maysville in the tournament. So we switched up, and we knew Larry Woods. He was the coach at Maysville at that time. And a lot of stuff that we was going to run, we run completely different offense. He didn't want to show anything. Well, they beat us like a drum. We was never in the game. Of course, I didn't realize counts. You know, I'd never heard of him. And we walked out, he was about 6'9". I think I jumped center with him that night, so I probably shouldn't even attempt to jump. But I look back on that. We didn't do what we, you know, we kind of changed our whole game plan. Like, well, we're going to get beat, just kind of go out there and then the next game. But no, that's probably a sound thing. He went on to, I think, was it Florida State?
I believe so. And then, of course, the Celtics.
Oh, yeah. And he, I think his first year, he was like MVP plus Rookie of the Year. I think he might have got both awards. And of course, he played for years and was an all pro. But nobody, you know, Kentucky never recruited him, I don't think, Louisville. He went because at that time, Florida State, you know, didn't even think of them being a college basketball pro. I mean, a college basketball team. But that's probably, as a hindsight, I can't think if there's any other players I played against that made pros now. Some of them in college, like, say, Harrison County, was kind of the top dog. They had a kid went to, his name's Bill Wagner. He went to Georgia Tech. Keller Works, he was All-State. Might have been a freshman. He was St. Keller Works. He played college ball somewhere. He was All-State at Harrison County. It seemed like Harrison County kind of ruled there when I was in high school. But I'd say definitely boring, but Cowan's played one game against him, and that was kind of a mismatch. But,
yeah.
That was something. And I'm sure there's others that just kind of slipped my mind, but that's the only two I know maybe I played against when I played pro ball.
Yeah, that's the two I had written down, Dave Cowan's and Tom Boerwinkle. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right. I forgot about the Cowan's. But I was just telling somebody last week or so about Boerwinkle, how he developed. But he would like to say, and I'm not sure, he, you know, Cowan's was pretty polished, but Boerwinkle was just that, you know, he grades fast, and I don't know where he was from, being in the military school up there. I'm not sure what state he came from. I don't think so. We're around here. But he played a long time.
Now, I don't have any notes on your baseball career, but you told me before we started you played baseball your junior and senior seasons at Mason County.
I did, and that was just, I'll tell you why I did. Alan, they hired Alan Smith as baseball coach. And we probably wouldn't play over 14, 15. It was just kind of, and going back to Teen Frank, where my first 2 years where Schuller had left, I didn't play my freshman and sophomore year under base because Teen Frank was also the baseball coach. And I thought, man, I've gone through this for basketball. I don't want to go through it in baseball, even though I don't think he took it as serious in baseball as he did basketball. And what, you know, I look back on it, and again, I didn't realize what a good ball player and a career that Alan Smith had. It's something he never missed, not till I, and it was just something we didn't take it too serious. Didn't have that good a team, to be honest with you. It's just something after basketball and didn't have a good study hall. But I didn't realize what a career that Alan Smith Smith had a base on that. He went to LSU. And that's something he never told us. He was also my senior year assistant basketball coach. I didn't realize, you know, how good a basketball player. But he was really a good guy. Of course, Alan passed away several years ago, too. But to be honest with you, Dan, I didn't take baseball too serious. It was just something in the spring. And we didn't play, I'd say, 14 or 15 games here, just local teams around. And it was just something after baseball or after basketball. It was just kind of done to finish out the school year. But that was my baseline. He was really a good guy. But I wish I had realized, but I just didn't realize what a good baseball player. And a lot of people told me he hurt his ankle or something, and they kept pitching him and made changes delivery, and he'd done something to shoulder. A lot of people thought he would have made the major leagues if he hadn't had that injury.
So you go to college and then what, come back and farm, or what'd you do after school?
Okay, after I laid out, didn't go my first semester, and then I entered college. And my very first semester up there, Dan, my dad was 51, he passed away. He had a heart attack. I hadn't been to school very long. And I was first member of my college, and that's another thing I look back. That was, that was 66. I started in January 66. My dad passed away in May of 66. And I went up there, and then after he passed away, we had the farm and things here, and my mom was back here, and I was back here at home a lot. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Like I said, I was first person in the family. And then, I don't know, a couple years later, I wound up getting married and didn't finish school. And I mean, even looking back, I wished I had went on. Of course, after that, I came back and then I farmed for a few years, piddled around, and then in 1973, I got a job at Dayton Power and Light, and I worked there for 35 years, and retired in 07, and back here on the farm. I still fiddle around with some beef cows and doing that. So that's, I look back, and I wish now I had a, and that was my decision. I didn't have to, but my dad died, and like I say, I started there in January, and he passed away in May of a heart attack. And so you never know, how things like that change things. But so I come back, left there, and then got a job at the Dayton Power and Light.
I thought you might have been out in the field when I called this morning and didn't get you.
Well, I was out mowing the yard, and I'd been doing the thing, checking on cows, and walked in. Your mom said that you'd called, no, I've enjoyed listening to, just the other podcast, but it was, growing up a kid on the farm and things, getting to do that, it's pretty nice to be able to do that.
Well, I appreciate hearing your stories. Always enjoy talking to you. I think the last time we were in Kroger for a while talking, but I appreciate how you've supported the team. I wish more people would, try to get at least a game a year, and I know you've been a faithful fan.
And, and that's one thing that does this, and I know there's a lot going on, social media, these kids, and most of these kids have a car now, and they go to a place or have jobs, but, I go out there, and I look at it, and I think, facility, and of course, sports on TV now every night. You turn it on, and as I get older, a lot of times I think, well, I just kind of sit here and might watch something on TV. But I wish people did support the teams more. I've got a lot of enjoyment out over the years, and I still do, But there's just a lot of things now. Back then, there wasn't anything to do. And there's just a lot of things now for these young people to do, And if you don't have a family member or a real good friend, there's something else you can do.
Well, keep on coming to them. Again, we appreciate your time. Kenny, it's always good to talk to you.
Okay, and I always appreciate listening to you. You did that for several years. You did a really good job.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
That's former Mason County Royal Kenny Craycraft. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can get local sports updates by following me on Twitter at Danny E. Weddle and on my blog, courtsidewithdannyweddle.blogspot.com.